What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a Monday morning edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice alongside Pete Jensen and Waiver Wire James. Petey, how you doing this Monday?
What's going on, Rob? I'm coming at you guys remotely, having a little bit of technical issues. Hopefully have those resolved on Tuesday, but excited to break down everything that went down over the weekend. And Robbie, right, like this Anders Lee injury news, what a better time to have Waiver Wire James on to get to the thick of the New York Islanders and which way to turn. I mean, so many people are asking, Kiefer Bellows, Oliver Wallstrom, Jordan Eberle, who to pick up right now? What's up, James?
What's up, guys? The answer is elite goal scorer Matt Martin, who has as many goals combined with 4 weeks left in the fantasy regular season as Jack Eichel, Taylor Hall, and Jeff Skinner combined.
Well, James, wow. I mean, the crazy thing is, not about that stat, but about this New York Islanders team, is that all of a sudden Bellows saw his ice time go up from like 7 minutes a game to 14 and 15 in their past two, and he's playing more than Wallstrom now. I mean, are they just, these prospects just sitting in the weeds here for the Islanders, and they're just aging like a fine wine? Now all of a sudden with the opportunity, they're cashing in.
You can sit there and you can say that, but I think that they're just giving him an opportunity because, you know, they know what he's capable of. I mean, we look at him, you know, the last couple of years when he was skating down in the AHL for the Islanders, for the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. And down there, you know, he had 22 goals last season playing in Bridgeport. In the AHL, obviously, yeah, it's not the NHL. But, you know, 22 goals in 52 games in a pro league is still something that you shouldn't shake your head at. So we know the pedigree that he comes from. You know, his father was a very solid NHL player in his own right. You know, Kiefer Bellows, he's got everything. I mean, he was a first-round draft pick a few years ago from the Islanders. For this reason, that he was one of the best touted goal scorers in that draft class. Oliver Wallstrom was one of the most highly touted goal scorers in his draft class. So, you know, I don't think it's any kind of a knock on Wallstrom that Bellows is playing more than him. I think it's so far Wallstrom has shown that he can hold his own, you know, playing away from some of the Islanders' bigger guys. And I don't think the Islanders wanted to mess with the chemistry of the lineup that Wallstrom had on that line with J.G. Pageau and Michael Dalcol. Now, of course, Pageau and the very weird situation yesterday right before the Devils game, they started the game late because Noah Dobson was a game-time scratch about 3 minutes before the game because he was rushed into the COVID protocol. So Pageau and Noah Dobson hitting the COVID protocol list right before the game for the Islanders yesterday, it's going to be interesting to see how they break up the roster there and shake that down. I think Austin Czarnik drew into the lineup in place of Pageau, and he's been, you know, one of their most consistent forwards the last 6 weeks. So that's a big loss for the Islanders. So it really is going to change the dynamic of that team. But right now with Bellows skating with Barzal and Eberle, it looks like Anders Lee is not going to be back for the foreseeable future, maybe even the rest of the season. I think they're going to give him the kid a chance and let him run with it.
Yeah, I could see. I mean, right, like they could even move Wallstrom up to the top line at some point, like whether he's on the left side or the right side. They could give Anthony Beauvillier a shot there. James, I know you were saying that Beauvillier plays really well with Nelson and Bailey. I get that. But I liked what I saw from Beauvillier a couple of years ago when he played with Barzal. So you know that there's that pass chemistry there as well. If the Islanders need to turn to it. Right now, they don't need to do anything because they've won 9 in a row and they're beating everybody. They're taking advantage of bad competition here and there with teams like the Devils and the Sabres, but you still got to give them full checks across the board with how the goaltending tandem's playing. Yeah, that Pageau wrinkle makes me a little wary of Wallstrom, but everything I've seen from Wallstrom this year, right, Robbie? Like, this guy has like an it factor. He has tremendous confidence. That's the guy still that I would, assuming Pageau is not going to miss significant time, which can't be assumed, but that's what you hope for with the COVID protocol. I would go Wallstrom out of the three guys, out of Bellows, who has 3 goals in his past 2 games, give him credit for that, but and Jordan Eberle. Jordan Eberle is like kind of a little bit stale to me fantasy-wise from the past few years. So I would go Wallstrom out of those three.
I agree about Eberle being stale. I just think if I've got to make a waiver wire claim this morning, I might stay away from the New York Islanders. The reason is the next 12 games are against Philadelphia, Washington, Pittsburgh, and Boston. That's just going to be a more turbulent time for them than their past nine games. It's not saying that they're a bad team. They're not. They are a Stanley Cup contender, but I think the fantasy ceiling is going to drop just a little bit, James. I might look at two guys who you have on your waiver wire list, one in Jakub Vrána for the Caps, another in Paul Stastny for the Winnipeg Jets, who's dual eligible in Yahoo, center left wing, skating on the top power play and the top line there with Scheifele and Wheeler. Do you like either one of those two players?
Yeah, I love right now what Winnipeg is doing. I'm a big Paul Stastny fan, and I have been for a long time. It's very good to see that he's stepping up the way that he is right now. Vrána, we know who he is. Obviously, we know who Paul Stastny is as well. But, Vrána has been one of those guys that we've expected for years now to kind of break out down in Washington. And it just seemed like every time that he was given the opportunity, he really kind of floundered with it. But right now, he's got points in five straight games. And, he is 61% rostered, but I did put him on there because of that fact. He's available in almost 40% of leagues. He has 20 points and 58 shots on goal right now. You can't go wrong with either one of them, but I would go Stastny right now just because I think that the level of competition that they're going to face coming up is going to be a little bit path of least resistance. Although when you look at Washington's schedule, their next, five, six games, Buffalo, the Islanders, the Rangers, the Devils. So, you can't go wrong with either one, but I think that Stastny is just going to be more readily available for more players to go out and grab. But if you can get Vrána, I would jump on him.
I would definitely lean Vrána over Stastny. That said, Stastny's definitely knocking on the door, right? I mean, five goals in his past six games. The most important thing is that he's sticking on the top line with Scheifele and Wheeler. And then he's also seeing a little bit of time on the first power play, which is like just gravy to the whole meal that you're investing in with picking up Stastny right now. Robbie and I picked him up in our joint league. He's got center left wing eligibility. We got an interesting fan question. Would you rather have Stastny for the rest of the season? Of course, Stastny usually plays more center than wing, but you'll take that lineup placement any day. Would you rather have Stastny or Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's playing center now on the second line, right, with Ehlers and Kyle Connor, pretty good line mates in his own right. What do you guys think about that? I guess start with Robbie.
Yeah, Pete, I would still go with Pierre-Luc Dubois. I know he hasn't been the immediate impact player I think Winnipeg was hoping that he would be. For whatever reason, whether it was losing some momentum with a quarantine, whether it was kind of getting used to the chemistry there. I just like his ceiling higher, James. That's me personally. I like Stastny a lot, but if I'm in a deeper league, I mean, Stastny's going to be the only guy available. I still wouldn't hesitate to pick him up. And I think you texted me yesterday afternoon, James, saying that you had a hot take about the North Division. Does that involve the Winnipeg Jets potentially?
James texted me also with a very hot take saying he has a sledgehammer, the first of the year. So I want to tee you up for this big sledgehammer that you said you have, your first one of the year, and it's not a game. It's a little future. So James, explain.
Yes. Well, first I'll answer Pete's question. And right now I'm kind of leaning more towards Dubois over Stastny long-term. I think that Dubois is going to figure it out. And I love the line that he's playing with. I love him playing with Nick Ehlers. And so I think that Dubois over the course of the rest of the season is going to be the guy, but my future is my sledgehammer right now. If you can go out and find the odds, the Winnipeg Jets will be the Canadian team that comes out of the playoffs and is in the final four for the Stanley Cup.
Wow. And that's a sledgehammer. Like that's a sledgehammer. It's on sledgehammer. Record 3/15/21 Monday sledgehammer from James Harding. And it's not a game. And you know what? If you get this right, this is almost like three sledgehammers in one. It'll put you to 3-0 if you get it because it's a future sledgehammer. So, hey, the Jets are a wagon. I can see that play, especially with the way Toronto has looked as of late. Still give Toronto the edge, but I like the play. I like the future there, James.
I think that Toronto is probably good enough right now to just hold on to the regular season in the division. But of course, they are only 4 points up on Winnipeg and Edmonton. But I think that when healthy and when they're clicking on all cylinders, they have an offense that can match up with anybody in that division. They probably have top to bottom the most underrated defense in that division, and they have the best goaltender out of anybody in that division. So I think that when Winnipeg is able to put it together, I don't think in a 7-game series any team can beat them 4 times.
That's definitely fair. I mean, I liked Winnipeg a lot last postseason when they were playing Calgary, and then Patrick Laine got injured, and who was the other one, right? Shifley got injured. Yeah, it was really just a tough – that was just a tough draw for them. I mean, you can't beat any team in the league if you lose, like, 2 or 3 best players due to injury. No team would be able to survive something like that. And, yeah, so Winnipeg, I mean – I guess my only concern would be their defense. Do they have enough horses on defense to, you know, maybe prevent the opposition, so many high scoring teams in that division, on a consistent basis over the course of a 7-game series? But what you've seen, especially since the Laine trade, I mean, even when they were working it, remember they were even working in like some other players like Kopp, and some of these other guys were just like Lowry. They were just like producing like crazy, even before Dubois joined the mix. So I think their depth has been tested this year from the forward group standpoint, and definitely Paul Stastny. I mean, if he's out there in a deeper league, like that question I think that I mentioned was, should I drop Dubois for Stastny? Yeah, I kind of side with you guys. I wouldn't drop Dubois, even though he's been sinking in our rankings. He's still like top 125 overall. We still have a lot of trust in that player. So general consensus is we like Dubois over Stastny for the rest of the season, but Stastny could be really valuable. He's played with good line mates before in his career, and the fantasy production has been very high.
And Petey, I've loved picking the Jets in the playoffs the past few seasons, but I think what's ended up burning them is just not having that center depth, right? And now you've got a guy like Stastny who could shift back to center at any given game. Pierre-Luc Dubois on the second line to round that out. James, I agree, that line is fantastic. I think that's going to be the difference for them in the playoffs. Now, I would expect the Toronto Maple Leafs to be a team that is active at the trade deadline. We are starting to see that that roster is not looking so deep. We're starting to see that there are some concerns in net, and their defense, as you pointed out, James, it's just not all that it's cracked up to be. Muzzin's playing great. Riley's playing great, but the level of competition drops off so greatly after that, that Winnipeg's defense is somehow not that far behind. So I like the futures take. And I think if there's 1 year where this divisional realignment, I just think it's going to benefit a team like Winnipeg. If they get hot at the right time, you are not going to want to face them in the postseason.
Yeah, when you know the depth, and I mean another team that I mean another player that Pete just mentioned a minute ago was Andrew Kopp, and you know I talked about him. We talked about him earlier in the season. He cooled off a little bit there for a while, but he does have 4 points and 2 power play points in his last 3 games. You know, he is playing on that third line there. He's been shifting around. He's seen minutes on their top line. He saw a lot of time before Dubois got there on that second line with Stastny. Now he's been shifted back down to that third line. So it just shows also kind of what you were saying, Rob, is A, they didn't have a lot of center depth, and B, they didn't have a lot of scoring depth in that lineup. And now I think that they've gotten a few of these guys who have played in the top six earlier in this season. And just because of the changes that they made, they've now dropped these guys down in the lineups, but they're still being productive.
How good would a Toronto-Winnipeg series be? Boy, I will pay to watch that series. That will be fun. That's almost like Vegas and Colorado going at it in the West before the season. We thought would be a great series. Wow. Toronto, Winnipeg for 7 games. Woo! That's what the NHL is about right there.
And I think that, like, right, you look at what Colorado and Vegas have done at different points this season with their goaltending. I mean, they have maybe the 2 of the 3 best goalies in the league with Grubauer and Fleury. And then Leonard's now on a conditioning stint practicing in the AHL. So that's significant if he's going to come back and join the mix and maybe cut into Fleury's time a little bit. But like to what you were saying, Bob, like look at the offense, right? The offense that would be in that series. That series might be even more exciting offensively than a Colorado Vegas would be.
I mean, well, the thing with Colorado now, too, that we're seeing over the weekend, like the guys are starting to get going. Kadri's heating up. Burke Hosky has been consistent, which is good to see. Petey, we love the player. And you're just starting to see that team round into form. And it's so great. The big dogs, you know, the big teams, when they get hot in the second half of the season, they are going to steamroll in the postseason. So if you're looking to make futures now, get it while the price is still decent. It's not going to be much better than it is now. It's only going to get worse. So that's that being said, Jamesy, let's talk about the Florida Panthers, who continue to impress game after game. Mackenzie Weegar is a defenseman on the waiver wire list. What do you like about Weegar?
He just brings a really solid all-around game. You know, he's the third guy on that team right now behind Ekblad and Yandel from a defensive standpoint. But all three of them are worth owning standalone in any league. You know, 6 points and has covered categories really well. Six hits, six shots on goal, and eight blocks in his four-game point streak right now. He's third among their defensemen with 16 points and 47 shots on goal this season. Second with 62 hits and leads the team with 34 blocks. Leads their defenseman with 34 blocks in 27 games. So, you know, just the amount of category coverage that he's getting, you know, obviously from an offensive standpoint, he's close in point production right now to both Yandel and Ekblad, but they are, you know, known more as offensive production defensemen. But it's hard to pass up on the kind of category coverage a guy like Weegar can give you this late into a season. And when you look at where his percentage is, you know, 44% rostered in Yahoo. So, you know, he's readily available. He's out there. And he's a great guy just to add, especially if you have that full category coverage.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think one of the telling things about this for Florida guys is that, right, look, almost every year that we've covered fantasy, the teams that have three or more defensemen, it's usually never four, unless maybe you're Nashville from the past couple of years when they were good. But like all these teams like that have three fantasy relevant defensemen are the teams that, you know, fare really well in the regular season and more often than not go deep in the playoffs. Remember last year, the two deepest defenses in the West met up in the conference final with Vegas and Dallas. So I think having that type of depth, especially for maybe a team like Florida that people view as a pretender, this is something that's indicative that maybe they may actually be a contender. They got two good goalies, you know, at least in the wins column lately. They have three strong fantasy relevant defensemen, two strong lines, some rookies to add to the mix over the course of the season. Not too shabby. And it's very telling thing the deeper that the Panthers go, I think.
Well, and the third line is starting to play really well too right now with Owen Tippett on the right side, 3-game point streak. Now, it might be too early to pick him up in a regular league, James, but if you have him in a keeper league, it's probably time to start getting excited about the player's future.
He's one of those guys, you know, highly touted prospect, former first-round draft pick. You know, we expected a lot from him, and it's just taken him a while to kind of crack their lineup and get going. He's been in and out of their lineup so far this season, only played 18 games, but you know, he has 26 hits and 26 shots on goal. He does have two goals and an assist with nine shots on goal and seven hits in his 3-game point streak. So, you know, he's getting an opportunity right now and he's taking advantage of it. They've been shifting that lineup around, really the only consistent line so far that they've seen down there this season has been that second line with Wennberg centering Huberdeau and Hornquist. And Hornquist has just become even more of a valuable fantasy asset than he was when he was skating with, you know, Malkin and Crosby last year in Pittsburgh, which I don't think any of us would have seen this year when you considered what Florida was looking at them in the past couple of years. But yeah, you know, they just have a scary amount of depth. I'd put them as, you know, like a light version of the Carolina Hurricanes this season.
They've played hard and competitively in the head-to-head games against those Hurricanes. Even in the losses, it's been really tight. And yeah, for Hornquist, leads the Panthers in power play goals with six. So how about that? He steps into an already elite power play and just, you know, takes it on his shoulders and leads the charge, and then is tied for their team lead in goals with 11 with Alexander Barkov, who we were hyping up to be a Hart Trophy candidate, 31 points in 27 games. I mean, that'll get him in the conversation. He's already almost at 100 shots this year for Barkov. So that's always a good sign too, when your supplementary players are playing better than you expected, and then your elite players don't take any step back. They just take another step forward. So they've been really impressive for sure. And I think with Tippett, it's just, you know, those are the type of guys that maybe are not tabbed as elite level prospects that would be in the top 25 of a keeper league draft. Tippett has always been like maybe in the top 50, but just kind of lurking there. And we're just ready for him to get the opportunity to play in the NHL, which he didn't get prior to this season, but ripped it up in the AHL last year and is definitely deserving. So he's one of those season guys, right? We always get hyped up about Lafreniere and Kaapo Kakko and Jack Hughes and the 18-year-olds. But the trend in the league is that those guys haven't been performing well. It's been more the season guys that get a couple of years more in juniors, a couple of years more in college, or a couple of years more, of course, in the AHL. And those are the guys that can come and take you by surprise in fantasy. So don't sleep on Tippett in a keeper league, no doubt.
And the trend in fantasy is shifting towards category coverage cogs. I mean, when you look at players who are most valuable, you're looking at the Tkachuk family. You're looking at Tom Wilson, right? You're looking at now guys like Tippett that are going to play two ways. They're going to hit. They're going to have blocks, that are going to have a lot of shots. Those are the ones you want. In fact, I got offered Braden Point in a league that counts faceoffs for my Matthew Tkachuk, and I rejected it the other day because I'm like, I need Kachuk's category coverage. It's as simple as that. So if you're positioning in a keeper league, you got to get the guys that cover categories. Tippett certainly skyrocketing. Now let's stay in the division, James, and talk about the Dallas Stars. I know that you did not like them so much heading into the season, but Jake Oettinger, certainly one of the only attractive names on the goalie market. Are you picking him up?
I think right now you'd be crazy not to consider it. Look what he did over the weekend. You know, I mean, he started back-to-back games against the Columbus Blue Jackets, which, look, I mean, Columbus is not the team that we expected them to be this season either, but, you know, starting back-to-back games against that team on consecutive days, faced a lot of shots, allowed four goals in their loss over the weekend, their loss on Saturday, which was an overtime loss, but then he bounced back, stopped 29 of 30 shots yesterday in the 2-1 wins. So, you know, he has four wins on the season, a 2.1 goals against average, a 917 save percentage. He's definitely not looking like a rookie right now. And when you look at his numbers, the thing that excites me about Oettinger compared to Anton Khudobin, Ottinger's keeping them in every single game. He's 4-1-5. So, you know, an interesting stat to throw at you. I know it really doesn't matter anything in for fantasy purposes, but he's tied for the league lead among goaltenders in overtime losses right now with John Gibson of the Anaheim Ducks. They both have five overtime losses this season. So Oettinger is 4-1-5 on the year. So, you know, they're playing hard in front of him. I think that they are a little far out of it to make any kind of a run to get to the playoffs. But if they're going to sit there and they're going to give Oettinger this opportunity to just take the job and run, because it doesn't look like Bishop is coming back anytime soon, and Khudobin has been very, very shaky, you'd be hard pressed to find a better option than Jake Oettinger right now. 16% rostered in Yahoo. So yeah, I'd go out there and I'd add him immediately.
I think that's a great note, James, in terms of the competitive nature of this player, especially so young and having a good save percentage, 917, and getting your team at least a point in 9 of your 10 decisions. I mean, that's a lot better than what Khudobin has done. I mean, Khudobin had, what, a shutout here or there, a good performance here or there. But, like, that's why they started Oettinger over the weekend, both games, is because he's keeping them in every game. The team otherwise is in a tailspin. I mean, they were like, as of at some point last week, they had like 2 wins in their past 14 games or something. And the tough thing with Dallas is like, they get Radulov back, but then like, you look at like Rupe Hintz's game tab, it's like, he's in the lineup one day, he's out of the lineup the next day. they said he has a day-to-day injury, and it's probably not going away for the rest of the season. So, I mean, you can count on him for a multi-point game when he's in the lineup, but what about the next day when he's not? So that's kind of a problem. You can't expect to get Sagan back. You can't expect to get Bishop back. If you get either or both back, it could really give them a lift late in the season. But for right now, you got to go with the guy that's keeping you in games, winning games as well. And actually, he is second behind, I believe, Nedeljkovic, or in even strength save percentage among rookies, or actually third among rookies, 931 even strength save percentage. That's damn good, man, for a rookie.
Do you guys feel like we're kind of running out of time here for the Stars? I know they're still behind in games played, but as Pete alluded to, it just seems like they can't get into the groove. There's a couple guys banged up. The latest I've read on both Bishop and Sagan, that it's probably minimum 4 weeks. It's good to see that Ben Bishop's back on the ice, but you know, that doesn't say a whole lot about getting actual game time. So do you think the ship has sailed here for maybe anyone considering a futures bet on the Dallas Stars?
Yeah. I think it probably has when you look at it. You know, they've made up a lot of ground so far. They're only, you know, most of the teams around them in that division have played, you know, 26, 27 games. Columbus has played the most in that division with 30. So Dallas has played 24 games. So, you know, the difference between them and Columbus is 12 points right now. Columbus is 5 points ahead of them in the standings, but Dallas is 9 points behind Chicago right now. So, you know, that's a big number for you, you know, to have to make up. Obviously, yes, you know, they still have 32 games left. So it's very possible that if they get hot, they can do it. But, you know, the longer that we see them, you know, have these inconsistent streaks, yeah, the longer it's going to be for them, or the harder it's going to be for them to really make up any kind of ground. But they need to do it now, because they can't wait another 2 weeks to try and get this going.
Agreed. I don't think like the betting odds on Dallas to make the playoffs are that juicy, because they have all these games in hand. So like, I guess they're, you know, everybody's expecting them to surge at some point in the season based on how far they went in the playoffs last year. So it's not like if you were to look at like, say, Vancouver or something like crazy like that, or even a team like Columbus, you'd get better odds on a team, on teams like those, you know, based on at least the latest update and what I've seen. I think the last update was about 7 to 10 days ago that I saw, and like there was not much value at all on Dallas making the playoffs. So why even bother, you know, in terms of the futures market?
If you were to judge Dallas just on the way they're playing, and as Rob said, I think perfectly, is they just can't get into a rhythm. They go destroy Chicago, and then the next game they look flat and they score a goal, and that's it. If you were to just judge Dallas on how they're playing, no, they're not going to make the playoffs. The only reason their odds are what they are, as Pete said, is because they have all these games in hand, and that's it. I mean, that's the only reason you have hope for Dallas, is like, oh, well, they have a bunch more games than everyone else. But if you're judging them on the ice, not much to like.
And we're at the halfway point here on the calendar. And it's like, when are we going to see Dallas be that team? I do worry that they are going to go on a tear at the end of the season, and it's going to end up not being enough, especially when Sagan comes back to the lineup. I think that's going to be a big boost. But as we saw with St. Louis, Tarasenko coming back, I mean, it just doesn't seem to have done a whole lot for the group, James. I mean, now you look at the West Division, Minnesota has 13 regulation wins, which is tied for first with Vegas and Colorado. And then St. Louis is 4-7-3 at home. It just seems like the wheels are kind of falling off the bus there. Now, I'm not worried about St. Louis in the postseason. I think that team is going to be a very tough out. But it's like, if you're looking at the waiver wire, I mean, you can't go near a team like St. Louis right now.
Me and Minnesota aren't on real good speaking terms right now, because I lost my fantasy matchup in one of my leagues yesterday, because I had Kokkonen and the guy I played had Talbot, and they decided to play Talbot, and I lost by 20 points because I had Kokkonen instead. So me and Minnesota are not on speaking terms for about the next 5 seconds. But yeah, you know, we knew that division was going to be incredibly tough. And, you know, Tarasenko has looked very good. He's kind of reinvigorated that lineup a little bit. I think he has 4 points so far back in 4 games, you know, so that first game that he played, you know, took him a little bit to kind of really get going. But I mean, he jumped back in that first game and he played over 16 minutes and he's played 18 minutes and then over 20 minutes in each of his next two games. So, you know, any kind of exposure that you can get to him, you know, he's a guy who's missed now most of the last two seasons. And I think he's just eager to get back out there. So, you know, I think that he's going to try his best to, you know, put the team on his back and shoulder as much of a load there as he can. So if you can get any kind of exposure on the waiver wire to somebody like Tarasenko, you know, you have to go out and do that. I know Sammy Blay is playing on that line with him and Shen right now. Not much production there at the moment, but if you think a guy like that could take off with that kind of exposure, you know, it's going out. It's worth going out and taking some kind of flyer.
Yeah, and the Blues have they're winless in their past four, three overtime losses in the span. I saw a lot of the game on Friday when they rallied, and you know they're really, you know, they can score with anybody in the league. They've proven that. I mean, in terms of offensive depth and just, you know, scoring goals over the course of a game and, you know, falling behind but then picking it back up and coming back, there are a few teams that have shown you more than the Blues have offensively in terms of their resiliency. But, like, I need to see the Blues go out there this week, four games, two at L.A., two at San Jose. Like, they need to win three of those games and then get a point in the other. I mean, it's about time that they take care of business against some of these teams out there. And, like, I mean, the way that they've played against San Jose this year has not been encouraging. And right now the Sharks have won three games in a row, and they're finally stringing together some wins. I think, guys, we're starting to see some sneaky fantasy value from – you know, guys like Kevin LeBanc. I know I nailed the one the other day when I was saying that Timo Meier and Hurdle are going to have low ownership and are worth stacking the other day against the Ducks, who have been terrible. And both of those guys scored goals, so I was happy to see that. But I think LeBanc is the one guy that, like, because he plays with Couture and Evander Kane, and those guys are both top 100 overall players right now. Like, LeBanc has been on that line all season. And if you're looking outside for a Anders Lee replacement and you don't want to touch a Paul Stastny, who you think might get moved down in the lineup, I think LeBanc's one of the best guys out there.
I would just real quick respond to the Blues by saying I would double down on this team right now. They're just so banged up. Robert Thomas, IR, Barbashev, IR, Tyler Bozak, IR, Gunnarsson's IR, Pareko's out, Schwartz is out, right? So I just think when those guys get back in, they are going to be tough to handle. And I think that they're going to get matched up potentially against a team like Minnesota and just go to work. I mean, that's what the St. Louis Blues do. They've got the history. Minnesota's the hot fantasy team in the regular season, which I'm all over. Kaapo Kakkonen has been great for my fantasy team, as Kaprizov has as well. But I think come the postseason, we're talking about St. Louis. We're talking about another potential Stanley Cup for that franchise. Now, shifting to the Sharks, James, I cannot believe that we're even bringing up a guy like Devan Dubnyk, too. Two straight wins for the player. Petey mentioned LeBanc trending way up. What is your take on the San Jose Sharks? I'm personally not sold.
At this point in the season, you kind of have to throw, you know, some jello at the wall and see if anything sticks. You know, Dubnyk, we expected him to kind of, you know, wrestle that away from Martin Jones because of just how inconsistent Martin Jones had been the last decade. But I think that when you look at what Dubnyk's doing right now, you know, he's starting to see more of the starts. I think he's the better goaltender there. You know, if I'm deciding between him or Jake Oettinger, I'm going to go with Oettinger. But, you know, Dubnyk right now he's starting to play more consistent. He's starting to play more like the goaltender that we knew him to be in Minnesota. You know, he does have a 904 save percentage. So, you know, his save percentage is going up. He faces a lot of shots on that team. So, yeah, you know, he's going to give up, you know, two, three goals on most nights, but he did shut out, you know, Anaheim the other day. But yeah, you know, I think Dubnyk does have fantasy relevance for the rest of the season, as long as he is going to be more of the number one guy there over Martin Jones. But, you know, back to Pete's point about Kevin LeBanc, you know, I would absolutely agree. I think that he is a really solid replacement for a guy like Anders Lee. You know, he's got goals in consecutive games, you know, 4 points in that span,
playing with Couture and Kane, you know, doesn't really get power play time, or he gets power play time, but not really power play performance. But he does cover shots on goal and hits. So, you know, I think that LeBanc could definitely be a solid outside replacement for somebody like Lee in most fantasy leagues.
Yeah, and in terms of the team security of that team, they don't have team security, right? Their only hope in terms of stringing together more wins and, you know, getting some garbage fantasy value is that Carlson continues to stay healthy and continues to be a plus player. When you see that he's played the past 7 games at a plus 7 with 5 points, he's playing lower ice time, which is something we hinted at earlier in the year. This guy should not be playing 26, 27 minutes a game with a groin problem, a lingering groin problem. He should be playing more like 20, 21, 22. And he's been averaging 22 per game over that stretch. And that 7-game stretch where he's plus seven with 5 points has included 2 games against Colorado and 2 games against Vegas. So that's the real deal to me. So it's all about sustaining it and whether or not he can remain healthy. If he is playing, you know, his butt off defensively and he's healthy, then I like Dubnyk. I have some more trust in Dubnyk. If we see the Carlson of last year and the year before, then that, you know, gives up some plays on defense. I mean, that's where it could get real ugly for Dubnyk. And if you're in a league where, like, if you're in a league where you make moves every single day or every week, couple moves a week, sure, pick up Dubnyk and see if anything sticks. But if you're in one of these leagues where you have to be careful with your waiver wire allotment for the season, or, you know, sometimes you only have a certain number of pickups for the whole season, then steer clear of the Sharks for sure.
You can at least throw Dubnyk out there against LA, against Arizona, against Anaheim, though. I mean, you've got 3 teams that he's probably not going to get lit up against, right? And he can definitely win against Arizona and Anaheim. So just if you're going to pick up Dubnyk, play the schedule. I will say real quick for the Sharks, I like their top 2 forward lines. In my opinion, they're both top 15 lines, both at line 1 and line 2 if they stay healthy. So that's good news for the Sharks. I think that now the only caveat here, the big problem, 6 regulation wins for the Sharks this year. It's the same with Ottawa. Even Detroit and Nashville have more than that. It's just, you know, if we would have seen it, we would have seen it by now with San Jose, right? Like, they would have shown us a little bit more. I do like Erik Karlsson trending up. He's trending up in the D ranks as well. But I just think if you're looking, you know, to make some waiver wire teams, you've just got to play it a little bit safer right now, James, especially as we get down to crunch time before fantasy playoffs start.
Yeah, for sure. Question for you guys that I had gotten over the weekend, actually talking about Ottinger real quick, getting back to him, and, you know, Dubnyk, talking about the goaltenders before we get to odds for the day. Would you right now drop Carter Hart for Jake Ottinger?
I would not. I wouldn't, because I haven't seen enough from Dallas, and it just makes me worry, like, all those injuries they have, and even that their top line center, I mean, I guess you could say it's Pavelski, but really that team is much better offensively when Hintz is playing well. And when Hintz plays with Radulov and Robertson, like, that's a line that gets me excited. But if he's out every other day, that makes me worry. I do think the Flyers are going to hang around in contention. They have a well-rounded, deep team. They are inconsistent. They're maddening in that regard. But I will expect a better second half from Carter Hart. I think he deserves that benefit of the doubt. Like, he's still young. He's had a rocky start. There are a lot of circumstances about this season that are kind of bizarre. And, you know, I would just still trust Carter Hart over a player like Jake Ottinger because of his team and because of his individual capability.
For me, James, that's a no-brainer. Jake Ottinger, 100% of the way. This Philadelphia Flyers team is closer to the New York Rangers. They're just not good enough, period. The goaltending especially is not good enough. And historically, that team just does not have goalies, James, dating back for 20 years now. So I think you've got to make the move. You've got to get wins in fantasy now. And I at least like Dallas's outlook the remainder of the season in that division, because as far as I'm concerned, the top 3 teams in that division, they're just racking up points every single night. There's opportunity for Dallas to take Chicago's spot. Where Philadelphia, I mean, if you think about it, Philly and New York are going to be battling, you know, maybe for the 4th spot. I don't see either of those teams getting it, even if the Islanders cool off a little bit, James, against a harder schedule, like they're still a better quality club than Philadelphia is. And Boston, that's a team we haven't even talked about because they're just playing inconsistent right now. Once they get going, they are going to raffle off wins. And I think Philadelphia lost three straight at home to the Caps, who are banged up. They've got guys, suspensions. They've got goalies that are cold and still took three from them. I mean, that is inexcusable.
It's true. And I think another good question that I got similar, but it's even looking long-term, someone was asking Kaapo Kähkönen keeper league or Carter Hart. Should I drop Carter Hart in a keeper league for Kähkönen? That's another, that one's a no brainer for me at this point, because I love the long-term trajectory of these Minnesota Wild. If they're doing this now, I mean, that team's only going to get better, I think, in the years to come. You guys agree?
Yeah, that's a move that I would probably make right now.
Well, it's certainly a move you have to make. And James Van Riems, like, leading the Flyers in points with 28. I like JVR, you know, but it's too awkward with that team with the changing of the guard, whereas Minnesota has the star power now coming through. I like what Kaprizov is doing. He's a bona fide superstar in the NHL. He just plays with that dimension. They've got guys, prospects, James, like Marco Rossi, who could have been playing this year if not for the COVID long-haul side effects there. So definitely intriguing for Wild trending up. Now, as we get to the slate here, James, I know you wanted to pull out the sledge with Winnipeg earlier. Are you seeing anything on a Monday night that whets your appetite as well?
I am, actually. And, you know, I'm feeling froggy today, so I'm going to pull out the sledgehammer again.
Wow.
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 That's right. That's
a
right.
A double Bobby. Sledge?
Bobby, it's dangerous.
Let's go.
It's reckless.
Let's go. You know what? It's the week of St. Patrick's. So, you know, I'm feeling it right now. I'm wearing my my four leaf clover shirt today, since I won't be on with you guys on Wednesday for St. Patrick's Day. First off, I think the extension that the St. Louis Blues gave Jordan Binnington is going to age like milk. And you saw that a little bit over the weekend. So I'm at plus 125 tonight, sledgehammer, LA over St. Louis.
A sledgehammer on an underdog.
Sledgehammer, and that's regardless on the of who starts a net for the Kings. We're not talking about Cal Peterson. We're not talking about Quick, right? That's regardless. Regardless.
Wasn't this the same? This was the same matchup as that other near sledgehammer by James, right? I think it was.
And then
the Kings ended up shutting them out anyway.
Yep, that was contingent on Cal Peterson starting that game. Right, tonight, right. I'm throwing that out the window. I'm saying, regardless of anything, the Kings.
What about Groznik, Grozniak, or whatever? What if he gets the nod?
It's going to, I think it's going to be Cal Pete.
All right, James, listen, I appreciate you going out and having a few sledgehammers on this Monday, and I'm rooting for you because you need a sledgehammer in the win column. You're one of the regular guests that comes on here, and right now you're 0-0. You can improve to 1-0, and like I said earlier, if Winnipeg can come out of that division, you know, that might be worth two or three sledgehammers. I don't know if there could ever be a sledgehammer on a future pick, but you're doing it. And you know what? I got to give you credit for it. I like it. I like the pick too, by the way. I do like that Jets pick.
Yeah. You know what? I decided it's time to jump into the fray, and you know, let's just go for it.
All right. So I'm looking at the board tonight, and one jumps out at me, which maybe I'm getting a little ahead of my skis here, but I do like the team, the way they've been playing. The new coach has made a bit of a difference. I'm going to take Calgary tonight. The line was minus 111. Everyone's jumping on Edmonton, and yet Calgary is going up as a favorite, which tells me that the folks out in Nevada like Calgary also. That's good enough for me to put a little shekel on the Calgary Flames on this Monday night.
Well, a nice performance by Calgary the past couple of days, right? Beating a fringe team that they're trying to catch in the standings in Montreal, 2-1 one day, 3-1 2 days later. So that's what you hope to see with Sutter taking over. And you already see Sutter out there calling McDavid the best player in the game by head and shoulders. I mean, yeah, sure, obviously, but yeah, I think like he just brings some extra vigor to that matchup. It's already maybe the best rivalry in the NHL the past two seasons. And now I'm even more amped up to watch that game tonight, Monday night. at 9 p.m. Eastern. So that's going to be an exciting one. I would also lean Calgary. I like that pick, Bobby, and maybe parlay it with the over because they're going to probably be a ton of goals in that game.
I like the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. It's kind of against the grain pick. I'm not pulling out the sledge, but I do like the Blackhawks tonight. It's good value for the pick number one. And two, that team just is a little bit up and down. When they lose a game, they tend to win the next game. So I like that play. I'd also consider the Ottawa Senators on the second of a back-to-back plus 150 against the Canucks. The Senators are very good at home. I don't know what it is about them playing in the building. 6-6-1 for a Senators team at home is very good when you consider the team. So, James, I like the Chicago Blackhawks tonight. I like the Senators. If you're just feeling a little bit crazy, $10 parlay or something, you'd make a lot of money on that if it hits.
Hey, I like the price on both of those. Those are price plays. I mean, I agree with you, Robbie, on that. And at what point is Buffalo going to win a game? At what point are they going to win at plus money? I mean, it has to happen at some point. I don't know if it's tonight against Washington, but plus 215. I mean, this is still hockey where, you know, a puck bounce here and a puck bounce there. I don't know how many losses in a row it's been for Buffalo, but at some point, an opportunistic bettor would be looking at Buffalo and saying, okay, how do I get a shekel here with them snapping their losing streak? I don't know if it's tonight, but plus 215. I've been saying it for the last few games and it hasn't shaken out. So beware.
Yeah. I mean, Buffalo, you know, 10 game losing streak right now. I have no confidence whatsoever. You could be getting, you know, plus 300 odds on them.
Yeah, it's
and,
hard.
And I just, it's hard. And especially now it looks like Eichel could be done for the season. You know, some people are rumbling he's out, you know, for a while. I think also it's probably in non-keeper leagues, you know, time to just cut bait and jettison him off your team.
We talked about Eichel plenty. The other price I like tonight is the Rangers. The Flyers are an absolute mess. They are a total mess. You get the Rangers at home. Panarin's back. MSG's got the fans in the building. Even money. You know what? I like the Rangers. I like that price. I also like Boston's price. There's a lot I like. Boston against Pittsburgh is pretty much even money, too. I know Pittsburgh's been rolling, but yeah, that's a decent price to get Boston.
Well, and the good news about betting on Boston right now is it's the same thing with the Avalanche, where we just haven't seen that team fire on all cylinders all season. Once they get going, they are going to steamroll. So I like the Boston play. I do want to ask one quick question before we wrap here. The Montreal Canadiens are favored tonight at the Winnipeg Jets. What do you make of this team the rest of the season? I've been getting a few questions over the weekend on Twitter about guys like Suzuki, guys like Toffoli, Petrie. Everybody's still worried about this team. Have you seen anything after this coaching change, James, that makes you inspired here a little bit?
No, I don't. I still think they're just playing too inconsistent. I know that, you know, they have tweaked the lineup there a little bit, but I'm not 100% sold on these guys. You know, I do like that second line right now with Kotkaniemi centering Gallagher at Toffoli, but Toffoli's, you know, gone a little cold right now. That top line with Suzuki centering Drouin and Anderson. So they do have depth there, but I don't see enough out of them on a night in and night out basis that makes me really jump and say, you know, wow, I'm going out and I'm you know, adding all of these guys, or I'm throwing some bets down on these guys. If the Jets odds were a little bit, you know, higher, I probably would have taken that as a second sledge tonight, but I do think that the Jets are going to win that game.
Yeah, I like the Jets in the game, and I actually cut the cord on Suzuki in one of my leagues. I picked up Hurdle, and I pretty much, you know, decided that I'm going to make that a streaming spot for the rest of the season because it's a pretty shallow league. I think it's only a 10-team league, so, you know, I'm hoping Hurdle stays healthy, but even if he doesn't, I'll just go in a different direction and ride the hot hand of the week, or, you know, look at some underlying numbers and find some guy that's going to take on a bigger role or something like that. Like, I'm not here to wait around for someone else to jump Montreal in the standings, whether it's Calgary or Vancouver or something like that. I'm a little worried right now about Montreal, honestly. Like, like the hot thing at the beginning of the season was that Suzuki was playing so well and Josh Anderson was a great fit. And, you know, even Drouin looked a little bit better. And yeah, I mean, it's great to see Kuk and Niemi become maybe fringe fantasy relevant after the coaching change. I know he's been hot, but that doesn't do it for me. I mean, Montreal's bigger and better than that. At least I thought they would be. I picked them to make the playoffs. So I'm a little disappointed in them. And I'm a little afraid that they're going to miss, whether it's one of those other two teams getting hot at the right time. So certainly with Calgary's uptick after the Sutter hiring, I like that better. And that's why I'm excited to see this game on Monday and just if the Flames can keep it going, because then I think the Flames will pass Montreal if they get any type of a bump from the coaching change, just because I haven't seen it on the other side from Montreal.
And to steal James's line here, I think that coaching change in Montreal is going to age like milk. You can't get rid of a guy like Claude Julien and lose the locker room midseason. Bergevin, see ya after the end of the season. He's probably gone if they miss the playoffs. And I think Vancouver and Calgary are better positioned anyway to not only make the postseason, but to make more of an impact if they get there. James at Waiver Wire, James on Twitter. Thank you for your insight. As always, you can hit PD and I up at NHL Fantasy on Twitter and Instagram. We will be back with everybody on Wednesday for another big show. So send us your questions and maybe we can do a little bit of mailbag on Wednesday. We will talk to everybody then.